My name's Sean Collier. Sorry about not doing episodes for a while there, but I mean, what were we going to say about Ocean's 8?
I liked it.
Good.
Nice there. Outfits.
It was a movie that you could look at.
Correct, and enjoy.
Yeah, that would have been the whole show.
Yep.
But we're back with wacky dinosaur comedy, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I'm here with Robin Hitchcock.
Hello.
Hi, Robin.
Hi, Sean.
There's old dinosaurs, new dinosaurs, old cast members, new cast members. Does this series jump the Mosasaurus for a second time? Find out this week on You Can't Handle the Truth. It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, June 22nd, 2018. Say that again.
I really liked Ocean's 8. I think that it was completely unnecessary, and it's pure popcorn, air-popped popcorn.
Sure.
But it's also possible I wouldn't like it so much if I weren't a lady, but I liked it.
I loved the cast.
Yeah.
It was perfectly cast.
I think it's decent heist plotting.
I wanted more Rihanna, and is her name really just pronounced Awkwafina?
It sure is. She's so great.
I wanted more of the two of them.
Yep.
Cate Blanchett was especially, Helena Bonham Carter was great.
Mm-hmm. Everybody was great.
They might as well have put a flashing sign over every shot saying, if you like this one, we're bringing George Clooney back in the sequel.
What, really? Are they doing that?
Are you being sarcastic?
I am not being sarcastic.
Every time he was mentioned, someone went, is he dead? Oh. Every time.
Okay. I just took it at face value that he was.
But he's a con man.
Okay, yeah.
Isn't death the great con? I liked it fine. I mean, I think I might have given it a 6. Like,
it was a solid 7.5 for me.
I felt like no urgency at any point. Like, we're talking about the plan. We're executing the plan. We have executed the plan. We'll all go home. Like,
correct.
Yeah, there was no, oh, maybe they're not going to do it. No, they're going to do it. It's going to be fine.
Yes.
But, as I think you pointed out on Twitter, Anne Hathaway was delightful.
She's so charming. She was so good, and she just is so in control of her charmingness. And her goofballiness.
I saw that movie with our friend, noted improviser Matt Solter.
Because, oh, that seems like a good person to see that movie with.
Because Matt won the annual, to quote Abby Fudor, Win a Date with Sean Collier auction.
Oh, wonderful.
Where every year for ArcadeComedyTheater.com, there's an annual fundraiser, and people donate a prize, and the prize I donate is I'll take you to an advanced screening and buy you popcorn, and you can get to see a sneak preview with me. And Matt won and wanted to see and likes heist movies, and he asked me, like, why don't people like Anne Hathaway?
And I genuinely don't know. I understand that she was a little bit overexposed, but a lot of people are overexposed and don't get the level of just, I don't like that woman that she got. I assume it's just misogyny.
I used to feel this way. I have softened on it when I step back and think that she is delightful every time she's in a movie.
So you used to feel like there's too much of her?
No, I used to kind of like sneer at her persona.
Oh, okay.
And I think the way I explained it to Matt was, the least convincing performance she gives is as herself, Anne Hathaway. Like,
oh,
when she does a bit on SNL or, like, I remember
her Oscars hosting was
right
very awkward, but that's more James Franco's fault.
Yes, well, so much is James Franco's fault. she was on I remember seeing her on Between Two Ferns, and just everything around the push to get her that Oscar, which again
was incredibly deserved,
was well deserved. Every speech, I felt like you convinced me that you were a dying French sex worker much more than you're convincing me that you are a human.
An ingenue, yes.
Right. And somehow that rubbed me the wrong way, but...
And you and the rest of America.
Right.
Yeah.
I've grown out of that because I can't name a time in a movie where I haven't been thrilled that she was there. Whereas
right.
some of the other hateable actresses, if we just stick with actresses for the moment, you're... Cameron Diaz's and Gwyneth Paltrow's,
both of whom I also like,
are occasionally in a movie where it's like you're terrible, you're doing terrible
which
at
is,
acting.
I will agree with you there.
Did you see Annie 2K whatever?
I'm a huge defender of the new Annie. I loved new Annie. Like I approached it as a children's movie and loved it. And I loved her. I mean, obviously...
Oh, I hated her.
Obviously, that's an iconic role that she's not up to par for, but she did her best,
yeah.
And I respect that.
There are... With both of those actresses, there are roles where I think they were good. I think she's great in Being John Malkovich.
Yeah.
I think she was fine in Something About Mary, and I don't like There's Something About Mary.
Yeah.
I thought she was fine in Gangs of New York. There's just occasionally I see her and I'm like, you don't even know what acting is. Like The Holiday is a movie about Jude Law staring at Cameron Diaz's face searching for an emotion.
Oh, I thought that was a movie about a sister relationship.
No.
I've never seen it. I'm thinking of In Her Shoes.
I didn't see that.
I didn't see either of them.
How are we on Cameron Diaz?
Right, we have this. I think that actually is somewhat telling about the substance of the movie that we just watched.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof.
It's not that I don't have things to say about Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. It's that it hurts me to say them, and I'm trying to avoid it.
Okay. Well, can I just start with how the title of the film is embarrassing to me?
Yeah, what the hell is that?
First of all, I kept calling it Jurassic Park Fallen Kingdom.
Mm-mm.
And
the second trilogy, I'm assuming.
No. They're still calling them Star Wars movies, right? Like, just stick with the brand.
Well, Jurassic World, full stop, was fine.
Oh, I agree.
Title-wise.
Yes.
But this one, it's like, Jurassic World 2 would have worked.
Also that.
Give me your Jurassic history before I try to restrain myself in mine.
Okay, so you mentioned before we watched it that you really loved mm-hmm. the original film as a youth, and so did I. I did not like Jurassic World at all, but I saw it on my TV in my living room during the day.
Yeah.
And I really think that that contributed to my dislike of it.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking about, right when we were in the theater waiting for the movie to start, I was thinking about when I saw Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
I made up an excuse to not see it in the theater as a 9-year-old because I was too afraid and I was embarrassed that I was too afraid to see the film.
It did terrify me as a child. Like, I can't judge you for that.
And then I watched it with my cousin Rocky, mm-hmm. who is older than me and cooler than me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I...
To this day?
Love you, Rock. But we watched it on, like, one of those little countertop TVs.
Ah.
You know, like,
yeah.
a little 10-inch... TV,
yeah.
And boy, was it ever a great movie.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So if that movie, seeing it for the first time on a tiny television,
mm-hmm.
blew my mind in that way,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's fair to be like, well, maybe I would have liked Jurassic World if I saw it on the big screen.
That's true. There's also a sharp difference between watching a movie in your 30s and watching a movie when you're 8.
Okay, right. I was 10.
10.
But still.
Jurassic World is not... There hasn't been another one of these movies that exist in the same ballpark as Jurassic Park.
And it's not fair to say, oh, it's not as good as Jurassic Park, therefore
right.
it's garbage. That's too unfair.
I think I think Jurassic Park is, again, the two movie posters in my office are Jaws and Jurassic Park.
Okay.
So I obviously hold it in very high regard, but I think it has slowly become kind of universally accepted as a pinnacle of whatever you want to call this. Action, popcorn, sci-fi, fun, summer.
Yes.
Craziness. But there's that. And then, to me, The Lost World and Jurassic World are, I think, both quite good popcorn movies that should not be compared to Jurassic Park, but do fine as quite good popcorn movies.
I have virtually no memory of The Lost World. And Jurassic Park 3, I remember liking. But I remember thinking of it as just a straight up like suspense movie, right? It was just like, okay, go be scared for 90 minutes.
Yeah. I don't remember it well.
That's how I remember it, but yeah. I can't like back that up with facts.
So I can tell you everything about like the night I went to see Jurassic Park as an 8-year-old.
Okay.
Like it was It remains one of my favorite movies, a movie I can watch anytime, and very formative to my movie going.
Right.
And my movie appreciation. I fundamentally want populist entertainment that's smart and thoughtful. Like,
right.
that's always what I'm looking for.
Right.
So these movies do mean a lot to me. And I think that elevated my opinion of Jurassic World because it hit enough of the same notes for a... It was something of a return to form.
Okay.
I always thought that one of the strongest things about these movies is the, like, sense of joy and wonder at discovery and nature. Which I don't really think was in the second one or the third one, and I didn't expect to come back in Jurassic World, but it did. There, you know, the first hour of that movie is about how cool science is until things go wrong.
Right.
So this movie, Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom, is a dumb pile of crap, but it was fun.
Here's the thing, I enjoyed this more than I enjoyed Jurassic World. And again, I was like, well, I saw this in the theater with a advanced screening full of people who really were enjoying it. There was, you know, laughter and clapping and saying, close the door, right?
Yeah.
Like, that always makes you like a movie more.
Yeah.
So I definitely had a good time watching the movie. It does not hold up to even, like, the scrutiny that we gave it while waiting to see if there's a scene after the credits.
There is.
It's
Ooh
not
boy.
Worth waiting for.
No. It's... I mean, we're not going to spoil it, but Google it. I mean, it is both not worth waiting for and contextually disappointing. I had a good time. Like, it's, you know... If someone is like, oh, do you want to go see Jurassic World? But, like, people kind of ignore the fact that I've already seen everything and just ask
right.
me to see what... I probably would go see it again, just because there are dinosaurs and they attack and eat people. Like, that. Like, sure, Bryce Dallas Howard and Chris Pratt are just as fine as they were last time.
So one thing I got to say is that one of the reasons I didn't like Jurassic World is that I found some of the dynamics between their characters... had some sexism issues.
Sure.
And they toned that way down in this one. They clearly were responding to some of the criticism. There are some very pointed shots of her practical boots.
Yes.
As opposed to her stiletto heels. And Chris Pratt's character basically is not the jackass that he was.
No.
He barely does anything. He kind of seems like he's cashing a paycheck in this.
He's always there, but he's very, like, reactive.
Yeah, like, he really is not bringing that much to
it. I mean, Blue the Raptor had more to do.
Right. It's possible that he had, like, limited filming time. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it would appear that anyone in the Avengers roster right now just shoots nonstop year-round, like they're on a cruise ship. But which I hear is a fine life if you're up for it, and being paid millions and millions of dollars. I don't know where to be. I mean, the biggest yes, they made these better characters. They inserted some nice characters. The young sidekicks
are fine. They're fine.
They're fine. I would have liked if Lauren Lapkus had come back, but okay.
Oh, I completely forgot about those side characters from the previous one. Yeah. Even though that was my genuine favorite moment of that movie was when he like made a move and she was like, I have a boyfriend.
Yes. She was hilarious, and yeah. She was presumably fine at the... Well, let's just assume that she was like, I'm not doing dinosaur work anymore.
Right.
I'm done with that.
So, wait, that was one thing. I don't remember Jurassic World well enough. What changed... Why did Bryce Dallas Howard leave and become an environmental activist?
Yeah, that was not addressed at all.
Okay.
This whole movie hinges on... Now she is working to save the dinosaurs from a conservationist standpoint.
Right.
And the one time I messed around in the, like, in-universe websites for this movie, it gave you the backstory of that.
Okay.
And I assumed it was going to address that in the film.
Is it interesting?
No, it's just that the experience made her reevaluate everything, and she launched this foundation, and you know she is now leading this cause, and they do advocacy, and it just explains like I had a change of heart at great length.
Okay,
but the movie doesn't even do that, despite like 25 solid minutes of retconning to get to the plot they want.
Yeah, there was quite a bit of stuff in the first act where I was like, get to the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But I also got to talk for a second about how one of the new sidekick characters, she says she's a paleo veterinarian. And then to the film's credit says, that's a real thing.
Right.
But she had never seen a dinosaur before because when they arrive on Isla Nublar, she goes like, oh, wow, it's so amazing to see one in real life.
Right.
But then she spends the rest of the movie treating dinosaurs.
Successfully performing dinosaur surgeries.
Right, exactly. And it's like if you were an alien who had studied human beings and then came... And did a kidney transplant.
The first human is not going to make it.
Right, exactly. So that was wild to me. I also saw an article in my news app right before I got here that they cut a line of dialogue where she says she's a lesbian.
They cut it?
Yep.
Why did they do that?
It says four time, and I'm like, okay.
No, you didn't.
No, if you cut it, you know, and it's basically so they can have that article, get some press... And still not have to upset anyone who would see the movie and be like, well, why is that lady character gay?
For time.
It was literally a quip about, you know, Chris Pratt, if I dated dudes, I would date a dude like you.
It's, the movie's 2 hours and 10 minutes long, including, like, a random scene about English accents.
There are several opportunities to pee, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, shout out to High on Film. They have, when they do new movies, they do to pee or not to pee, and they tell you when to go pee.
I don't know if it's still being updated. There's actually an app called Run Pee.
Great.
That you know, for some reason, they don't have people at Sneak Preview. So, if you go Thursday or Friday, they don't have it up yet.
Okay.
But after the first couple of days, it'll be like, when the dinosaur growls and then there's a shot of Owen saying, but, that's when you go up and you can go. And as you're walking to the bathroom, it tells you this is what's happening as you're walking to the bathroom.
Oh,
her name, by the way, that we're talking about is Daniela Pineda, who is in Vampire Diaries. She did very, I very much liked her performance.
Very charming,
but it's
for a ridiculous character.
Oh, boy. It's just... I don't want to harp on it because It was fun. I had a good time. See it. It's just a dumb story.
Right.
That does all of these plot backflips to get to its dumbness. Where it's like, this is all you had to do was, uh-oh, we have to go back to the island. Or, uh-oh, the dinosaurs are here. And you got a movie. And instead, it does cartwheels.
I am baffled by, if you lived in a castle in the Pacific Northwest, and you also had a secret dinosaur laboratory,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't you just maintain separate facilities?
Right. I don't think the zoning was an issue you couldn't overcome.
Why make it all one thing?
Oh, man. I mean, I don't want to get into the spoilers of what goes wrong, but it boils down to people let dinosaurs out for arbitrary reasons.
Very silly reasons. Which again, seeing it in a theater was fun. There were times when people laughed out loud at the choices that some of the humans made.
Yes.
That resulted in them being eaten by dinosaurs.
That's the thing, though. The thing that does make me a little sad is a lot of this went full comedic. The cold open is a slapstick scene.
Yeah.
And doubly so later in a scene involving this year's new crazy extreme dinosaur, which you're only going to be able to play a higher card so many times on that, and before you get to, like, this dinosaur can shoot guns. Like, anyway.
Also, if they're going to go play so fast and loose with retconning, can't they just give the dinosaurs feathers?
Didn't that one kind of have a... It had hair. It had hair.
Yeah.
It had, like, a
comb
over.
Which I assume they thought was feathers, but, like, just give the dinosaurs some feathers.
The look is so iconic at this point. To the point that when you saw Ready Player One, you were like, that isn't a T-Rex, that's the Jurassic Park T-Rex.
I did not see Ready Player One because I'm a woman.
I know many women,
all right,
some of
enough.
Whom are people I didn't even take. I saw. We could spoil Ready Player One a little tiny bit. I've seen Ready Player One 3 times.
Wow.
I like the book in spite of its giant flaws.
Sure.
The movie is better than the book. The movie like takes baby steps to correct those flaws, but at least does a little bit. I assume you haven't read the book.
Oh, no.
Part of one of the things that happens in the book sometimes is there are moments where one of the characters has to enter the world of a movie and like navigate that world.
Right.
And in the book, it's not very... The ones in the book are not very cinematic. At one point, Parzival has to, complete the entire plot of War Games as Matthew Broderick. And
yes.
Then I think later has to complete the entire plot of Holy Grail. That was brought into Ready Player One as they have to go into The Shining.
Right.
And it is... perfectly done.
Okay.
Technologically astounding.
Okay.
Even in 2018, because I really think they have digitally inserted them right into the images of The Shining.
Cool.
Like, I think that's just footage. And The Shining being my favorite movie of all time, that's the best thing I've ever seen.
Okay, that's valid.
Enough to get me to go 3 times.
And also, to be fair, I mean, I'm being glib. And I don't mean to diss or alienate any women who were super pumped to see Ready Player One. I would have gone to see it if I had been less busy at the time.
No, it's the novel is a straight nerd boy fantasy.
Right.
The movie tamps that down a little bit.
Okay.
And is Spielberg doing a very convincing imitation of himself.
Okay.
Which he hasn't done in a while.
Right.
Why are we talking about Ready Player One? To backwards, dinosaur, feathers. Oh, there's a sequence with the new fancy dinosaur, Indoraptor.
Come on, guys.
Where literally the the dinosaur is doing like Benny Hill winks to the camera.
It really
like
does.
I'm gonna eat this guy.
It really happens.
And that's the what I wanted, and this is why I'm disappointed. What I wanted going into this, especially from the marketing and the trailers and the Inception style remixes of the iconic theme music, was I thought this was going to be like dark and scary.
Right.
And instead it was wackadoo.
Yeah. And they are maybe trying to set up dark and scary. We'll see. This
gave a full body shrug.
Yeah. This movie definitely has third act problems in that the most interesting stuff happens and then there's 20 minutes more of movie.
Yeah.
Which are, you're like, oh, okay, cool. They're setting stuff up for the next one, which like, I'm not that excited about. So I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's just sort of another fundamental problem with Jurassic World is that like, I don't care. Like there's no, like, you know, we're like, okay, yeah, the characters are less obnoxious in this one.
Yeah.
And the sidekicks are slightly charming. But, like, I don't genuinely care about any of them.
Well,
there's this one little girl in this they spend a ton of time on.
Yeah.
I don't care about her at all.
Well, kids are essential to these movies.
Because kids watch them?
No, I think that in the first one, you would have had much less investment in the peril hadn't been imperiled children.
But
and so
I
they've
also,
always just brought
right.
kids back.
But I also wonder, because I thought Lex in the first movie was mm-hmm. like super cool. Is
yeah.
that because I was a 10-year-old girl?
No, I thought Lex was super cool.
Okay, but is that because you were an 8-year-old boy?
Well, I mean, she's a bit of a kid crush for
right, exactly.
lots of 8-year-old boys
like,
of the time.
Did grown-ups think that was a compelling character in any respect?
I remember she became kind of a permanent celebrity in Japan.
Oh, cool.
Like she puts out albums and
oh, wow.
tours.
Wonderful.
Only in Japan. I think the broader point is the characters in the first one are incredibly memorable and compelling and dynamic.
Right, I mean, like, I also was obsessed as a child with Ellie, and I thought, you know, Dr. Graham was wonderful, too. But,
right.
like, you know, it was definitely, those characters are real characters who you care about in
yeah.
a way that the characters in the Jurassic World movies just aren't.
No, they're, I mean, Chris Pratt is the popular conception of Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
And Bryce Dallas Howard
or he's
is
the popular, like, it's the dark side of the popular conception
yeah.
of Chris Pratt. Like, what a two-face he is, personality-wise.
Yeah. Which is why Star-Lord is the role he was born to play, because he gets to be both.
Yep.
By the way, don't buy a ticket if you're buying it for Goldblum. That is perhaps my favorite movie character of all time.
What a great character.
Is Dr. Ian Malcolm. You get the distinct impression that they said, listen, just show up at this room on Thursday.
Yeah.
Wear what you're wearing.
Right.
Maybe Wednesday night watch the first movie so you remember the exact cadence of gold blooming you did in that movie.
I don't think that he just did his normal. That's just him.
And
then they were like, here's a couple thousand grand. Yeah.
I don't think he was on. I don't think he had to break for lunch. I think it was 2 hours that he was there. It's nice to
and
see
then he
him.
Bought a boat.
Yeah. Well, we'll rate it at the end. I mean, this is not a good movie. It was fun because dinosaurs are fun and they know
right.
how to make a spectacle.
Here's the thing. If you happen to be going to the movies this weekend and you've seen the good things and you don't want to cry, so you don't want to see the Mr. Rogers documentary,
right.
this is fine.
Yeah.
This is a fine way to spend your evening.
Sure.
Yeah.
Before we go, congratulations to Robin Hitchcock and Regina Connolly and Bob Shields for completing the Theronathon.
Thank you.
If we've talked about this a number of times. If you can still listen to the whole Theronathon, that was a podcast review of Charlize Theron's career. They have watched every movie, some commercials.
Some television.
Some television, but every film Charlize Theron has ever appeared in.
Yeah.
And just completed this task. What can you tell me about the career of Charlize Theron having done this?
So, we obviously, if you make it all the way through our last episode, we have some thoughts there. But I think that the takeaway is, I think that Charlize Theron is an incredibly famous person,
mm-hmm.
an incredibly well-regarded actor.
Yeah.
And she has made a bunch of terrible movies. And it was, personally, as an artist of some stripe,
yeah.
it's wonderful to see that someone who I think of as, you know, a world-class talent,
mm-hmm.
having all of these mediocre stops along the way.
Yeah.
It's just a nice picture that, like, you know, your career doesn't have to be all perfect, and you can still, you know, be remembered as Furiosa and for your performance in Monster and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold the microphone a bit closer to your face.
Okay.
You were kind of side-eyeing the microphone there.
Okay.
I haven't seen half of the Charlize Theron movies. It's very interesting because in my head, she is, you know, one of the greatest living actors, and I wonder, and I'm talking about Monster.
Right.
I mean, I'm talking about Mad Max Fury Road, and there are a number of other things where I thought she was quite good, but when I say that, I am only saying that because of Monster.
So, I think that Monster is, by leagues, the best performance that she gives.
Yeah.
I think that she's given other brilliant performances. I think she deserved her Oscar nomination for North Country. I think she was robbed of an Oscar nomination for Young Adult. She was amazing in Tully mm-hmm. recently. But Monster is one of the best film performances ever, period.
Right.
I genuinely believe that to be true. I've never seen anything like that.
Are there times, did you discover times when she is not good?
Regina and Bob did.
That's fair. Yeah.
But I pretty much was always on her side.
Sure.
So the other thing I wanted to say about it is that similar to the Oscars Death Race, which I completed this year,
mm-hmm.
One nice thing about the Theronathon is it's fun to force yourself to watch movies you wouldn't normally watch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So it is interesting to just be like, 2001 comedy, Waking Up in Reno.
Yeah.
There's Patrick Swayze and Natasha Richardson, two actors we lost in 2009.
Hmm.
Right?
Or that Peter Sellers movie.
Oh, gosh. That's one that I do not feel like my life was enriched by. But yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting to see these things that hundreds of people worked on and millions of dollars were spent on.
Sure.
That just exist. They're just out there.
What was there a particularly pleasant surprise? Was there a...
We said that surprise of the podcast was Mighty Joe Young. We all really liked...
Is that an ape movie?
Yes, it's a giant ape movie.
Is that a children's ape movie?
It is. I would say the ideal age for that film is 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will, if it pops up on HBO,
yeah.
Sure.
And then another movie that I loved was Head in the Clouds. Regina and Bob both hated it.
I don't even know if I'm aware of that.
No one is aware of it. No one is aware of it. It's from 2004. It's her and her longtime partner, Stuart Townsend, former. They're not together anymore.
Uh-huh.
And Penelope Cruz. And it's like, you know, a love triangle over the Spanish Civil War and World War II.
Hmm.
And I just got wrapped up in it. I also
sure.
love the movie Allied. Casablanca is my favorite movie. Any wartime romance,
Wait, which one was that?
Allied was Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that.
Yeah.
I think we did an episode on that.
It's a good movie. Well, I think it's a good movie. No one else likes it.
Why am I forgetting that she was in it?
Wait, Charlize Theron isn't in Allied.
Oh, why
no,
are we
no,
talking
no, sorry,
about Allies?
Because it's similar to Head in the Clouds.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Okay. I was like, it wasn't
no.
that long ago.
No.
Well, tell our listeners, what's next from the erstwhile Theronathon crew.
So we're taking a hiatus over the summer, but we shall be back in the fall with the Keanu review.
Oh my God.
We will be giving the career of Keanu Reeves the same treatment.
Now, I am interested in this. I may try to revise my Keanu opinions. I know that the three of you love Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
I have always found him to be just a hilarious presence. That his, if I'm not just being like, he sucks, like if I'm actually just being thoughtful about it, his personality is so idiosyncratic and weird.
Yes.
That I can never buy what he's doing, or very rarely buy what he's doing.
Okay.
Obviously, Neo was dovetailed very nicely with what he brings to the table,
right,
as did Bill and Ted.
Right.
But when he tries to just play a part for a man, I'm like, what? No.
You don't seem like a real person.
You're some kind of a mythical creature.
Kind of like Nicolas Cage.
Yes, very similar. I remember the what's that Jack Nicholson, Something's Gotta Give?
Okay, yes, which I haven't seen, and that's one of the movies I'm so excited to watch for the podcast. My mother loved that movie.
I kind of liked it. I mean, it's, you know, it is, you know those little cakes you get with tea?
Yeah.
It's eight of those a movie. But whenever I think of him, I think of him delivering the line, "Pick you up around 7 in the most stilted way I've ever seen anyone say those words. But I'm curious. I'm looking at his IMDb.
He's been in so
many
movies.
You're going to be at this for a while.
Right, yeah. So, like, you know, Theronathon lasted a year. Keanu Review is going to be at least twice as long.
At least.
And it will be interesting because, you know, I think that Charlize Theron is widely believed to be a great actress.
Right.
Keanu Reeves is not. He is so much more beloved, or openly beloved, than he was 5 years ago. Like, because
yes,
I have been a vocal supporter of Keanu Reeves since I saw Bill and Ted as a child.
Mm-hmm.
But I think ever since John Wick, people have come out of the shadows,
sure,
to admit that they like Keanu Reeves.
Sure.
So all of y'all, come party with us in the fall.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking over right now. I completely forgot about Babes in Toyland.
Oh, yeah.
I watched that many times
that
as a child.
That was one of those movies that used to always be on Channel 11.
Yes. I've never
different Channel 11s, because we grew up in different places, but yes.
But sure.
Probably in all cities.
Your personal Channel 11.
Yeah.
I've never seen Point Break.
Oh my goodness, Sean Collier.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Well, people saying that kind of sentence to me might come into play later this year.
Ooh.
That's the first tease that I'm not even going to refer to beyond here. There are so many damn movies.
So I do have one quick plug.
Yes.
For people who are listening to this podcast because you like dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Arcade Comedy Theater has this comes out Friday, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, so Saturday, whatever date that is.
Saturday the 20th, I believe. No, Saturday the
23rd. 23rd.
We're all around it.
Tomorrow's the 20th. Anyway, yeah, so Saturday the 23rd at the Arcade Comedy Theater at 1 p.m., their family-friendly show Penny Arcade,
mm-hmm,
is one of its summer theme shows, and this week's theme is dinosaurs.
Oh, that's so fun.
So if you have a kid who's obsessed with dinosaurs, or if you are a grown-up kid obsessed with dinosaurs,
go
head
see
on down
Penny
and see
Arcade.
Penny Arcade.
What else do you have going on?
Oh, classes start summer,
yeah,
session. You can see me twice a week, and I can teach you improv if you want.
Yes.
Starting July 16th.
That's how Mary Beth Coolin got her improv start.
That's
is
right.
In your class.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have anything to plug? Not really. I mean, we still have a Kickstarter going. I don't think I've mentioned that. Have I not mentioned this at all on the... It's entirely possible, since we're at this...
Because you've taken a couple weeks off, it's possible.
I started a theater group, everybody. Go like Vigilance Theater Group on Facebook. We are working on our first show, Hollow Moon, right now. I'm writing and co-directing a show. It'll be up this November. It's an immersive thriller. I won't say anything more than it's an immersive thriller. We have a Kickstarter up. It's linked on my Facebook, on my Twitter, on the Vigilance Theater Group Facebook, or just Google Kickstarter Hollow Moon. We would love to have your help and support in making the show a reality. Robin, by the way, took us to our goal.
I did, and I've never done that before. I got to kick somebody's Kickstarter over the finish line.
We were right there, and I said, next person to donate gets a Funko Pop, which Robin did not see. That did not make her. She did not do this just for the Funko Pop. But
I still got it.
Yeah.
And he said it might not be a good one, but he got me a great one, which is Lorraine Broughton, Charlize Theron's character in Atomic Blonde.
I went into Barnes & Noble like, what Funko Pop should I get? The Charlize Theron one.
Yes.
That's, if Furiosa had been in there, it would have been that.
I already have that one.
Okay, good. But looking forward to the Keanu review. That
yes,
was the point
you.
Of that, right?
Thank you so much.
I walked out of Constantine.
Constantine is great. Don't at me.
I think I didn't hate it. I was just bored out of my mind. It might have been where I was that day, but I was like, this isn't awful. I just have no interest in it. And I went home.
Huh. I've never walked out of a movie still. Except for Drive, but that's because there was a noisy cricket in the theater.
There are very few movies I've walked out of. And not come back. Like, there are movies that I've, like, taken a break.
Oh, that's
like,
a good idea. I probably should have done that for some things. Like Wolf of Wall Street.
I walked out of Constantine was like, I just am not in the mood. Like, angry walkouts, there are so few. They include Team America World Police.
Huh.
What was that Kevin James Zookeeper?
Oh, wow. Forgot that existed.
There really aren't that many. One of those, the Valentine's Day, I think I saw like an hour of. Like, I showed up 15 minutes late and left half an hour early.
Oh, is that like Gary Marshall ensemble comedy? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us what movies you've walked out of. Have you seen Team America World, please?
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
No, I thought it was...
I mean, it's very juvenile, but...
I was 18 and indignant at the time, so I was probably
right.
Like, I will not stand for this about some issue.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's give a rating to Jurassic World Fallen Expectations. This is one of those that defies the rating system, because
right.
It's really, really fun and really, really bad. So I
yeah.
think that adds up to a 5.
I'm going to give it it's a 5.5.
Okay.
I wanted to say 6, but it feels wrong. I couldn't get it out of my mouth.
Yeah, that would imply that it's good.
It's definitely not. Remember when you had me on for Justice League and I was like, this movie is the platonic ideal of a 5.
Yeah.
Right? That movie has, I haven't seen it since, but like in my memory, it's fallen down. This
yeah.
is better than Justice League, though.
That's... Universal, you can put that on the poster. Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. Hey, it's better than Justice League. Thank you.